Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend J. Michael Byron from St. Pascal Baylen Catholic Church in St. Paul. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of all creation, make us mindful of the importance of the responsibility that is ours as stewards of your gifts and as servants of our fellow citizens. Keep us always aware of the ways that our deliberations and decisions here will touch the lives of human beings in our state, whether they are striving to raise children, or to erect buildings, or to cultivate the soil, or to protect public safety, or to educate the next generation, or to eradicate disease, or to comfort the elderly and the dying. And make us always conscious, as we are privileged to speak in this chamber, of our special duty to be the voice for those who cannot speak for themselves and those who are incapable of influence in the halls of government. We give you thanks for the blessings that are ours as Minnesotans and as Americans, for abundant waters that flow and for verdant forests and fields that are soon to awaken yet again. Teach us ever more gratitude for the gifts of faith, freedom, friendship, and family, and make us properly humble in our work, knowing that nothing will endure which does not enjoy your blessing. Amen.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God.
Sorry, I didn't get up here in time to talk with you.
That's all right. Thanks for having me.
The caucus.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Scoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. The second order of business, executive and official communications, please make note of those. The fifth order of business, report of committees, Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda and the addendum be adopted.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The sixth order of business, the second reading of Senate bills. Bills on the agenda and in the addendum will be given their second readings. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The bills printed on the agenda will be given its second reading. Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. These bills will be given their first reading and referred as indicated with the following changes. On page 2, Senate file 1208 will be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. On page 4, Senate file 1227 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary. On page 7, Senate file 1255 will be referred to the Committee on Commerce. On page 8, Senate file 1266 will be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. On page 10, Senate file 1283 will be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. On page 11, Senate File 1296 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary. The ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are author motions and will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor of the author motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Individual senators, now Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 690 be withdrawn from the Committee on Primary Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development and returned to the author. Madam President, it's a lousy bill.
Is it your bill, though, Senator
Senjum? It is.
All those in favor of Senator Senjum's motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. And I move that Senate File 813 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and returned to the author.
It's your bill?
Yes, it is, Madam.
All those in
President.
Favor of the Goodwin motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 1009 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government and returned to me, the author.
To you, the author. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Saxhog.
Madam President, thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 563 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. And, Madam President, I've talked with the Chairman of Finance, and he's okay with that.
And did you talk to the Chair of State and Local Government?
No, I didn't talk to the Chair of State and Local Government. Is it okay, Madam Chair?
On the Saxhog motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Dietzick.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 893 be withdrawn from the Environment and Energy Committee and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. And I have talked to both chairs, and they are okay with it.
And this is your bill?
Correct.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, pursuant to Joint Rule 203, I'd move that Senate File 1051 be withdrawn from the Finance Committee and re-referred to the Rules Committee. And Madam President, this is one of the Governor's budget bills which was introduced late. We've done this with other bills where we've had them taken from the Finance Committee, put them in Rules to then be re-referred back to Finance.
And this is your bill?
Yes, it is, Madam President.
All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate Resolution number 42 will be referred to the Rules Committee. On the addendum, Secretary will read Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to adjournment for more than 3 days, introduced by Senators Bach and Hahn.
That will also be referred to the Rules Committee. Nope. All right, Senator Bach. Senator Bach, you need to move to adopt that.
Madam President, I move adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6.
Which will do what? Do you want to explain the resolution?
Madam President, that is the concurrent resolution we do with the House that allows us to adjourn for more than 3 days over the Easter break.
All those in favor of the Bach motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. We move now to the special order calendar. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk. It's dated Monday, March 11. There's 5 bills on it. I would yield to Senator Sparks.
Senator Sparks, the next bill under consideration, House File 66, number 10 on general orders. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President and members. House File 66 contains the consensus recommendations of the Drainage Work Group. Members, you should have a fact sheet on your desks that talk about the makeup of that work group, which includes drainage authorities, farm groups, environmental groups, other associations and universities, along with state agencies and the legislatures. House File 66 has four primary provisions. First, it provides a clear process for reestablishment of drainage system records that are lost or destroyed or incomplete. Secondly, it clarifies a system of transfer of records between a county and a watershed district. Third, it clarifies authority for wetland and water quality improvements, elements, and projects. And the final provision, Madam President and members, enables a multi-stage ditch cross-section for petitioned repairs. The bill was heard in the Jobs, Ag, and Rural Development Committee, passed unanimously, as well as the Environment and Energy Committee. This is the third time this work group has brought their recommendations forward. We've passed legislation that passed in 2007 and again in 2010. And with that, Madam President, I would ask for member support of House File 66.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 66 its third reading.
House File number 66, a bill for an act relating to waters modifying drainage system provisions.
Any discussion? Then the Secretary will take the roll on House File 66. All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 in favor, 0 opposed, the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is House File 87, number 12 on general orders. Senator Franzen.
Madam President, Senate File 249 House File 87, Senate File 249. I want to first start by thanking my co-authors, Senator Latz and Senator Thompson. This bill would provide for an affidavit of survivorship for real property to release or partially release a lien of a mortgage. Under current law, only one address is allowed to be listed on a property deed. When a property owner dies, there is no way to change the address to reflect the location of the new owner. To ensure that the new owner receives the necessary information so they can pay property taxes, a different tool must be used, and hence this affidavit of survivorship is being proposed to be used to streamline the process for updating this information and ensure that property taxes statements go to the right person. Section 1 of the bill suggests that in the event of a homeowner dies, an affidavit of survivorship could be used to change the address where the property tax statement is sent to ensure the property taxes are paid by the individual whom the property is transferred. Section 2 is a technical change. It refers to when a developer is working on multiple properties. This section allows for a partial release of the mortgages, and the bill codifies a standard practice. Sections 3 and 5 does a technical change. It basically splits a paragraph into two subsections to provide greater clarity. And Section 4 and 6 changes a term from community element, community certificate of title, to community interest certificate of title, and that's just the modern term and usage. So this bill passed the Judiciary Committee on a unanimous voice vote and no opposition in that committee, and has strong support by practitioners and bipartisan support, so I encourage you to support it. I stand for questions.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 87 its third reading.
House File Number 87, a bill for an act relating to real property, providing for affidavit of survivorship, providing for release or partial release of lien of a mortgage.
Is there any discussion? Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 in favor, 0 opposed, the motion prevails, the bill is passed, and its title agreed to. The third bill on special orders, fourth bill on special orders, is House File 278, Senator Latz. Sorry, Senator Franzen. The third bill on special orders, House File 365, Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill attempts to fill a gap in the state's electronic funds transfer law, which stems from a federal Dodd-Frank consumer protection law. The Dodd-Frank makes commercial remittances transfers subject to regulation under the EFT laws, which stands for Electronic Funds Transfer Act. Even though the act doesn't apply to them because they don't meet definitions provided in state law. In other words, these transfers will not be covered either by state or federal law. And in the event that something goes wrong with the transfers under current law, we'll be unable to sort out who owes money to whom. This bill provides specificity in the regulation of the electronic funds transfers. It does this in two ways. First, it states that Article 4A of the Uniform Commercial Code does not apply to remittances transfers that are not an electronic funds transfers under Federal Electronic Funds Transfer Act. Second, the bill states that if there's an inconsistency between state and federal law, the federal law governs to the extent of the inconsistency. The overall effect of the bill will be that when Minnesotans make commercial remittance payments electronically, there will be legal guidance in how those transfers are made, and this will ultimately provide more protection for all parties involved in the transfers. I would like to thank my co-authors, Senator Latz, Senator Dietzick, Senator Thompson, and Senator Limmer, and this bill has strong support by the practitioners of the business law section in the Minnesota State Bar Association and business law practitioners, and it's a necessary change to fill in the gap in our current law given the federal Dodd-Frank law. Thank you. I stand for questions.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield for a question?
Will Senator Franson yield? Senator Franson yields. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, even though my name is on as a co-author, I missed a question in Judiciary Committee, and I see that, at least by my research analysis paper, that we're doing this in response to a Dodd-Frank Act, and we're allowing the EFTA to define this relationship on remittance transfers. The question that I had for the author is why would we allow the federal government to define this? Isn't there a role in the states to define it for our benefit?
Madam President, Senator Limmer, we had the Karen Granston, who's an expert in the field and an attorney with Frederickson & Byron and the chair of the business law section and executive council and co-chair of the banking law committee, was there testifying in support of this bill because there is a need, there's a gap, there's a missing link, if you will, between the federal changes that are going to go into effect February 2013. So this bill, what it does, it just clarifies that some of these funds that are subject to the federal law will be able to basically not fall in limbo and be able to be subject to the changes in Section 4A. So this amendment, what it does is just clarifies that these funds do there's more specificity in the current law. I'm not sure the federal how the federal law trumps us. It just says that we have to have state law that clarifies some of these transfers and the changes needed based on the federal Dodd-Frank law. I don't know if that answers your question.
Senator Limmer.
Well, Madam President, I'm not sure if that's as clear as I would like, but I think that's about as good as I'm going to get. Another question that I have is we commonly consider uniform laws in the legislature, and we have a very active group of people that are outside that give suggestions to the uniform law practice. Uniformity is an important thing when it comes to these laws. As we relate from state to state, we want to have some commonality. But Senator Franson, on this change, we all know that the Uniform Commercial Code has been around as a mainstay for a long time. But the modifications that you're suggesting, how many states have adopted this modification in the uniform law approach? Is it 20 states, 4 states? We commonly hear uniform law that comes into the judiciary. They bill it as uniform. It's as if every state is for it. And we always ask the question, how many states are involved? And sometimes it's down to the low single digits. Could you tell me how many states have adopted this modification?
Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, I don't know the exact number today. I can find that out for you, but I do know that this issue is beyond every single state has this issue in their legislative process because every single state's grappling with this and needs to make the change. So it's not new to Minnesota. We all have to make this change. We're proposing to do this sooner than the February 2013 deadline. So presumably these changes in the Dodd-Frank legislation will be in place, and we won't be ready for them. So we were suggested to make these changes sooner before the federal law takes effect. So I don't know the number of states, but I know that every state will have to make this change. Thank you.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I was just handed a piece of paper that claims that only three states in the District of Columbia have actually adopted this, and 35 other states are thinking about it. I'm not sure if they're going to agree in the same pattern as we are. So I'm trying to determine if this is the right path or not for us. Do you know if there's other states that are considering a different version of this to cure it?
Will Senator Franson yield? Senator Franson will yield. Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, I don't presume to be a banking law expert. I am an attorney. What I understand from the expert who we had in committee, who has more titles than I can even fathom, who's an expert in the field and is telling us that this is a needed change in our state law, and has endorsements from the Minnesota State Bar Association Business Law Section, and it's a renowned banking expert, I would really defer to that body of expertise that this is a necessary need for Minnesota. And we can certainly wait, but I'm sure we'll be hearing, including in your inbox, of people in the banking industry that are going to be complaining that we didn't act soon enough. So I would encourage people to support this legislation.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House file number 365, bill for an act relating to commerce regulating electronic fund transfers.
Any more discussion? Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails. The bill is adopted and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is House File 278, Senator Latz.
Madam President and members, as you all know, when you used to turn to the state statutes for guidance to know what the state law really is, you turn to books. But now you've all got computers on your desk, and you are turning to your computers to find out what the statute is or what the Constitution in Minnesota says. And the same thing with session laws and administrative rules. Well, technically, what you have on your computer is not the authenticated, fully reliable version of what the law is, because we don't have a process in place for that authentication to occur. So the bill that we have before us now, House File 278, puts that process in place so that the reviser will go through, and when they publish the statutes, the Constitution, session laws, administrative rules, they will in fact be fully reliable for us to cite in important cases as a reference point in our committee hearings and on the floor here of the Senate, and for every other legal purpose as well. So what this bill does, more specifically, it requires the reviser's office to authenticate the legal material in order to ensure that the user is electronically seeing the authentic materials and to deal with security measures to protect that information. The reviser will also have to have a system in place to preserve those legal documents for the long term and to provide for the long term public access to those documents. The reviser will be able to use their existing resources, their software, hardware, and staff to authenticate these materials, and then those electronic versions of materials will be presumed to be an accurate copy of the legal material. And it will also allow the publisher of the materials to designate the electronic record as official if the publisher complies with all the provisions of this chapter. This bill passed the House unanimously, and as far as I'm aware, is without opposition. I ask for your support.
Is there any discussion? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Latz yield?
Senator Latz will yield. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Latz, you indicated that a system would have to be put in place by the reviser of statutes, and obviously we are now going to be dealing with electronic copies of our statutes, et cetera. Could you just give me a bit of an explanation as to the reliability of the system that the reviser presumably is going to be putting in place, given the fact that we have had some difficulty recently in terms of the reliability of electronics material, and then also the system that has to be put in place. Was there any testimony or fiscal notes given regarding the cost of to the reviser of statutes to implement this system? Thank you, Senator Letts.
Madam President, Senator Newman, with regard to the cost, the reviser's office has been preparing for this, and they've indicated that they are able to absorb within their agency budget the costs of implementing this this law. With regard to the steps taken to protect the integrity of the information, there are a number of electronic steps that they will take, including all of the sort of whatever the standard electronic protections are that they use in these things. They'll have a private contractor that'll be involved in implementing it as well, that have the special training in this field to be able to do that. And they're also going to maintain separate off-site databases so that there's backup reliability in the event that there's some compromise of the original database.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Letts yield for one question?
Senator Letts will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator, for yielding. I just have one question, and because I'm not real familiar with how law firms deal with this, Senator Letts, I'm wondering if you would see, I see it's public on a permanent basis, so just to get a better feel for a law firm, would a law firm use this information? Would there be a cost of, involved in that? Because I know law firms use and purchase instead of law books, they pay somebody, a vendor, per month for reviser laws for doing their practice. And I'm wondering, is this going to give the law firms the access that they would normally be paying someplace else? Either yes or no.
Senator Letts.
No.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 278 its third reading.
House File Number 278, a bill for an act relating to state government enacting the Uniform Electronic Legal Material Act.
Any more discussion? Senator Cohen? No. Any more discussion? Secretary will take the roll.
Law access and that other, which is value added, it's not the, this is just like official.
All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and one nay, the motion prevails. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill on special orders is House File 90, Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill, Senate File 187, House File 90, is a bill that just clarifies and makes a minor changes to the vulnerable adult statute. The first part of it allows crimes that involve separate transactions to be dealt with all at once. So when a vulnerable adult is victimized over a period of time, the offenses can be aggregated over a six-month period. The purpose of this is to aid prosecutors and defense attorneys. The second part of this is that is on venue, so that where a vulnerable adult is victimized in several different locations with their own jurisdiction within their crimes can be prosecuted either where the crime occurred or where the victim lives. There was no controversy on this bill. There was nobody that testified against it. It passed unanimously in the Judiciary Committee, and it passed unanimously on the House floor. Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any discussion? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of this bill. I would urge colleagues to vote in favor of it. I think that crimes against vulnerable adults is something that has been rising over the last decade or so, and this appears to simply be another tool which will enable the county attorneys to appropriately prosecute. Madam President, would Senator Goodwin yield?
Will Senator Goodwin yield? Senator Goodwin will yield. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Goodwin, my question has to do with penalties as a result of the aggregation of the amounts. And if you don't know the answer, that's fine. Maybe we've got somebody else. But, you know, in the Judiciary Committee was the topic of the aggregation of the offenses discussed as it would be applied to the penalties. In other words, can we go from misdemeanor to gross to felonies to enhanced penalties?
Thank you,
Madam President.
Thank you, Madam President and Senator Newman. Yes, this would, aggregating the crimes would make it, would bring it into statute according to what that amount was. So if they took your credit card and spent money on it over a six-month period, for example, then whatever that amounted to, whatever the largest amount was during that six-month period is what the penalty would be according to current statute.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 90 its third reading.
House File Number 90, a bill for an act relating to crime allowing offenses for financial exploitation of a vulnerable adult to be aggregated over a six-month period, expanding venue options.
Any other discussion? The Secretary will take the roll.
I have too much stuff in my brain to remember all the details. Yeah, electronic transfer. Spell it out in the hearing, but not now. Whatever, you don't need a whole mess. Experts say we need it, just vote for it.
How dare you?
All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 in favor, 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We revert back now to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach. Oh, the Secretary will read the report.
Senator Marty from the Committee on Environment and Energy, to which was referred Senate File Number 889, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the committee report read by the Secretary be adopted.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Are there any announcements?
Do you want me to do excuses?
We're still on motions and resolutions. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'm about to make a motion to recess, and the point, members, is after the House goes in, they're going to be sending us a message over naming conferees to Senate File 1, and so we would come back just to appoint conferees to Senate File 1. So if you're in committee, don't worry about having to be back up on the floor. Madam Chair, I'd move the Senate recess until 4 p.m. today.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess. Uh-oh.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 5. House File Number 5, a bill for an act relating to commerce establishing the Minnesota Insurance Marketplace. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed thereon. Atkins, Huntley, Liebling, Abler, and Schoen have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File Number 5 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, on behalf of
Here
Senator...
Here he comes.
On behalf of Senator Lurie.
Senator
Lurie. Madam President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File Number 5, and that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move a brief recess for the purpose of appointing conference committees.
Senators in recess. Senator Bach.
Madam President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
There is. Secretary will read the report.
Senator Bach from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be, and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on House File Number 5. Senators Lurie, Sharon, Hayden, Goodwin, and Metzen. Senator Bach moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Miller all day, Nelson from 11:15 to 11:25, Fischbach all day, Hall from 11:30 to 11:40. Are there any announcements of Senate interest? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Wednesday, March 13th, 11 a.m.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.